So welcome back. So we're going to be learning this morning on a fascinating topic. I thought that it would be appropriate to start a new series, a set of ideas that perhaps we can work through over the next few weeks. And I was racking my brains as to what would be appropriate, what would be something which it could be something special which we could all grow through and learn through. And what I thought about is the notion of a series called Getting to 613, the idea of understanding why it is that we have 613 commandments. That's going to be the general idea of the series. Today we're going to look at an introduction and we'll get to some of the fascinating applications of it over the coming few weeks, God willing. But first, before we go any further, I do want to, first of all, wish a special Mazel Tov to Marjorie and Steve Kellner, and to Shira and Bruce Schuback, who are going to be celebrating Be'ezras Hashem, Jeremy and Sarah's wedding, this coming Thursday evening. B'Shah Tov and Mutzlachas. Should be at a good and healthy and wonderful hour, and looking forward very much to celebrating with you, God willing. I hope to see Dr. Stephen, a nice picture from the White House there. Be'ezras Hashem, it should really be at a good hour. It should be the beginning of many, many, many more brachas, God willing, for the Mishpacha. I also want to thank Dr. Zerika and Michelle, who are sponsoring today, Lezecher Nishmas, Abe's mother. And that's your side will be on the 8th of Tammuz, this Tuesday, Mrs. Golda Zerika, Golda Bas Reb Israel Zelig Chana Perel, Alea HaShalom, God willing, Nishmasa Aden, her Neshama should always shine, and Be'ezras Hashem get Nachas from the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. So here's the story. So let's think about 613. We've all heard about 613. And if I were to ask you, like, how do we know that there are 613 mitzvahs? Well, it's kind of ubiquitous, isn't it? Meaning, when we think about it, we hear about 613 all the time. But if I were to ask you to pinpoint one time you can think of the notion of 613, it's harder to sort of pinpoint precisely where we get that from. So I'll give you a few examples, which I'm sure, no doubt, are in the forefront of everyone's mind. One example is we know that when Yaakov Avinu comes back from the house of Lavan, he turns to and he sends a message to his brother Esav, and he says, "Im Lavan garti va'echar ad ata. I was with Lavan, and I stayed until now." And Rashi points out, based on a particular form of gematria of Atbash, he says, "Im Lavan garti v'tariag mitzvas shamarti. I was with Lavan, but I kept the 613 commandments." Which, by the way, one should pause and think. It's a little bit astonishing because there weren't 630 mitzvahs he could possibly do, certainly being in Chutz La'aretz at that point in time. But nonetheless, 613 is used as the rule. Another famous example of where we see this, I'm sure everybody's familiar with that famous gematria, where it says that Rus is in fact, if you take the gematria of Rus, that's Reish and Taf, that's 200 and 400, and the Vav in the Rus is the 6, that is ultimately 606, and that is because when she became a Israelite, when she converted to the monotheistic religion of being an Israelite at that point in time, Judaism, the idea of Judaism per se, the name Judaism was a later term, it came in time of Esther, but her conversion ultimately was an additional 606 mitzvahs to the 7 basic that she had as a Ammonite, as a Moabite woman, which was the 7 basic commandments, the universal commandments. So I'm sure we've all heard these, and if we think a little harder, I'm sure we could think of many other applications where we hear about 613 mitzvahs. But you'll note that those examples I just put out, those are just off the top of my head, are not sources, they're indicators, meaning they're symptoms of the fact that there are 613. But how, in fact, do we know that there are 613? Where does that come from in the first place, is the question that I think that we'd like to try to unpack today. So I pose this at our Shabbos table, this Shabbos, and I ask the kids, well, how do we know that? So my son very astutely pointed out, well, you count, meaning, if you open up the beginning of Genesis and you have a little mark on the side and you go check, 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 you should at the end of the day reach 613 mitzvahs. And that's a very thoughtful comment to make. However, it is unfortunately an incorrect reason why we have 613 mitzvahs. And the reason is as follows. Take a look at this fascinating comment of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says in the second source over here, on the top of the second page, he says, "Al derech mechkara emes." When researching the truth, he says, "Ein keitz lemispar mitzvahs." There really is no end to counting the mitzvahs. Kasher amara misharer, as the The poet said, "L'chol tichla ra'isi kates rochava mitzvah socha ma'od." For all purposes, I've seen an end. But for your mitzvahs are so wide, the horizons are so expansive. He says, look, if you count the principles, we'll call it the foundations of all the many, 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 many outcomes, you'll get to 613. But that makes it a little difficult, because ultimately what the Ibn Ezra is saying is that if you were to whip out a pen and go through the Chumash from beginning till end, from Bereshis to Yisrael, you would find that there were more mitzvahs than 613. And that's the truth. There are many more mitzvahs than 613 if you were to just count every time the Torah told us to do or not to do something. So therefore, how is it that we arrive at 613 in the first place? The Ibn Ezra, of course, is assuming that there are 613 mitzvahs. But he says they are 613 of the basic principles rather than necessarily the amount of mitzvahs in the Torah itself. So how do we get to that? Where is our starting point? Why is it that we have 613 and why is that important? So the most famous place, and this is really the source of all of this, is a Gemara at the end of Makos. The Gemara says, famously, is a very, very, very famous Gemara, and it says the following. Darash Rabbi Simlai, this is the first source today, and this is really the framework of all other discussions is based on this Gemara. The Gemara says very succinctly, Darash Rabbi Simlai, Shesh me'ois v'shloish esrei mitzvahs ne'emru lo'ele Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught 613 mitzvahs. Shalosh me'os v'shishim v'chamesh lavim. There are 365 negative commandments, kaminyan yomos hachama, like the day of the days of the solar year. U'mosayim v'arba'im u'shmoneh asay, and there are 248 positive commandments, keneged evorov shel adam, which are related to the 248 basic limbs of a human being. We have 245 words in Kriya Shema. We always add in three, whether it be the Kalmelech Neman if we're by ourselves, or the Hashem Elokeichem is repeated in a community, in a congregation, to match that 248. It comes up numerous times. Amar Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna says, my Kra, what's the pasuk that I can base this on? Where did you get this from? Rabbi Simlai, pray tell. So he quotes a pasuk which we know, famously, one of the first pasukim we're supposed to teach our children, the first song we're supposed to teach our children. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Ki Ed Morasha. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the Torah as a marasha, as an inheritance. Torah begematria shis mea v'chad sari havi. So if you do the counting, when it says, what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us? He taught us Torah. Let's do the numerical value quickly. What is the numeric coding of the notion of Torah? So Taf is 400, Vav is 6, at your 406, Resh is 200, we're at 606, and finally, Hey from the Torah is 5, bringing us to some total of 611. That's a problem, right? So the Gemara just said 613. Why is it 611? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, because ultimately, what is this pasuk talking about? Torah tzivalanu Moshe. It's referring to the commandments that Moses gave over to us. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu did not give over all 613 mitzvahs to us. He only gave us 611. Because the other first two, essentially, which are the all-encompassing of all positive and negative commandments, which are the first of the two Adibros, we know famously that Kadosh Baruch Hu expressed to all of Klal Yisrael, they died, were resuscitated, and they said, you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu, how about you take it from now? We are not on a level, we have too much of a filter in us as a human being to be able to experience the divine like this. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you listen to the rest, you tell it to us, and there afterwards. By the way, which is, as the Rambam points out, is one of the cornerstones of our faith, is because unlike any other religion, which is based on the words of a single prophet who had a solitary prophecy and then came back and told everybody else what they experienced, the nation of Israel actually nationally experienced the divine revelation. They just simply couldn't take it, and therefore they handed it over after those first two to Moshe Rabbeinu, knowing thereby, by having experienced it themselves, that what he's about to say was the truth, because he's the only one who can survive the experience of communion with the divine. So this is how we know. So anybody asks you how it is that we have 613 commandments, very simple. It's coded into the most basic pasuk, Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Morasha. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah. How much is Torah? 611. Where are the other two? Those are the two that Hashem taught, not Moshe Rabbeinu. There you go. Very simple. And that seems to be the basis of all this discussion. And this Gemara itself forms the basis, or forms the basic idea that is accepted by seemingly most of the Moinei HaMitzvahs, those who count the mitzvahs, as a basic principle. Let's take a look at some examples of those who base their works on this. One of the earliest ideas that can be attributed to this is a sefer called the Sefer Halachos Gedolos. In short, this book is called Bahag, Baal Halachos Gedolos. The Baal Halachos Gedolos is the person who's the author of the book Halachos Gedolos. Now, when most people quote the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, they think they're quoting a book which counts the mitzvahs. That's actually not entirely correct. The book, or the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, is in fact a Sefer which is about, it is tabulating halacha in its own categories. Very much like what the Rambam will do later on in time, but in his introduction, this is what he says. And just before even getting to the introduction, who is the Halachos Gedolos? There's a little bit of a debate whether it's an individual by the name of Rav Yehudai Gaon or whether it's related to Rav Shimon Kreiner. But be it as it may, we're talking about around the 700s, 800s, potentially, common era. So we're talking about from us 1,200 odd years ago is when this is in fact put to pen. And he quotes our Gemara over here. This is in one of the earlier editions of the of printing. Darash Rabbi Simlai, Sheshmei Mitzvahs Nitzavu Yisrael, Amar Amar Amruna Ma'ikra, Torah Tzivil Onam Moshe, Torah B'Gematria, Hachia Ahavi, Sheshmei Ois V'Achas Esreihu, Anoichi V'Lei Elocha, Mipi Agvur Shmanum. Shloshmei Ois V'Shishim V'Chamisha Mitzvahs Lo Yisase, Mosaim Arba'a, V'Shmoni Mitzvahs Lo Yisase, 365 negative, 248 positive, Kol Mekaimom, So a person who is able to fulfill them gets olam haba, and a person who transgresses them is judged with seven punishments. And he goes on to explain what those seven punishments are: skila, strefa, herik, chenek, misa, and kores and malchus. So there's seven primary punishments. And what he does is he goes on in his introduction to his book, which is primarily on categorizing Allah. He says, here are all the mitzvahs which fall under the category of skila, strefa, herik, chenek, misa, kores and malchus. Obviously, the biggest of those categories, of those seven punishments, is, of course, malchus, which is lashes, meaning it's a default negative commandment, which does not have a punishment allocated to it. The primary punishment is malchus, if a person transgresses with warning and with edim, and with witnesses. So this is what the Baal Halachos, he takes this Gemara, hook, line, and sinker, and he goes on to enumerate all the 613 mitzvahs in his introduction. He takes this Gemara as the basic. What is interesting is that when the Halachos Gedolos enumerates all these mitzvahs, he doesn't give too much explanation. He just gives it simply as a list. There's, you know, under the category of skila, any mitzvah, the person is called, would be condemned to stoning, and he gives the list. And then all the mitzvahs, and then he goes into the positive mitzvahs. And literally, it's just a list. It's not very long. The introduction is no more than about 5-6 pages long, ultimately, the last time I looked at it. And so it's not really the main point. In fact, the main point of his book is the introduction of all the halachas themselves. This is simply to get them. But he takes this Gemara as a basic. Another example of a Sefer which does this is a book by the name of Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, which is literally means the book of, the great book of mitzvos. It is usually colloquially known by its acronym, which is the SMUG, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. It was authored by Rav Moshe of Mikutzi, who was one of the Balei HaTosfos. So he is one of the Tosfos from the Tosfos Academies. And he has a book where he essentially, in his introduction, says very clearly here, he describes, essentially it's a halachic, historic development of halacha, from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way through the times of the first Beis Hamikdash, Golos, again, Ezra, Nehemiah, Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And ultimately, the end of his introduction, he says the following the following point. He says that he receives a dream. He says, V'tchilas ha'elef ha'shishi. He had the third line on the top of this page, on page 3. He says, V'tchilas ha'elef ha'shishi, at the beginning of the sixth millennia, right? So that means, which is around when he's living in the medieval times. I saw a vision. Kum asay sefer Torah bishnei chalakim. Set up a Torah, or write down the Torah in two divisions. Ve'esponan ala mare v'hinei hashnei chalakim lichtoiv v'sefer mitzvos. Asay v'chelek ha'echad v'sefer mitzvos. Lo yisay v'chelek sheni. that I should put all the positive commandments in the one and negative commandments in the other section of this book. And he says, "Lachen ini Moshe ben Yaakov nasati panai lechaber shnei asvarim." So I decided to write these two sections of the sefer. Mikom elamda yiskalti. I'm going to give a proof. I mean, he's going to do more than the Bahag did, which is he's going to now explain where each of these mitzvahs come. I'm going to explain it in easier language than you would necessarily if you're trying to access it from the Talmud, which is more complex, which is interdispersed with Aramaic. He says, "V'gam sodartim b'parshios ketzaros detain revach lisponen bein parsha laparsha." And I put them in paragraphs, so it's easier to understand the different, we'll call, themes of the mitzvahs. V'yazrein elokei galoyos Yisrael yisbarach shemoy al hamelocha la'asoyso. So he says, "And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help me." And it's interesting his appellation to understand, to describing Hashem, Hashem who is the God of exiles of Israel. Because the reason he believes is important, as he says at the beginning of his introduction, is because we're going through Golos and we're losing it. We're not getting a sense of what's really happening here. V'gam b'inyan lavim bo'ala elayim chalom, inyan mare bo'zeh ad loshon, hinei shachachto esa ikari shomer lecho pen tishkach ashishon lakecho, ki loy haya bedat lechabro b'minyan lavim. He says, "Look, I had another vision about the negative commandments because Hashem says, look, you're going to forget all of this." So he goes on to say why it is that he wrote his book and he is about to do it. And in fact, he comes up at the same level, the same basic number of 613. When he refers to Rabbeinu Moshe, he's referring to the Rambam. The Rambam wrote his sefer called Sefer HaMitzvos, which is the default Sefer HaMitzvos of 613. And we're going to spend a little bit more time on the Rambam in later week. The Rambam really sits at the center of this whole exercise of trying to understand this. And we're going to see the Rambam. The Rambam is fascinating, remarkable. The Rambam writes out 14 sharashim, 14 principles as to what is counted as a mitzvah and what is not counted as a mitzvah in trying to get to this ultimate 613. We're going to take a look at those in more depth, God willing, in the weeks to come. Because we really need to have the principles of how to count before we get to the number of counting. But be it as it may, the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, the Baal Halachos Gadolos, the Rambam himself, all arrive at 613. The Sefer Achinuch, famously, also arrives at 613. He uses basically the format of the Rambam with a lot of the Machshava of the Ramban, and he divides his Sefer over the Parashios HaShavua. So he says, in this parasha, you'll find X number of positive mitzvahs, X number, Y number of negative commandments, and he goes on to enumerate them. There are other sefarim which also talk about the mitzvah. So he has an example of a book called Zohar HaRakia, written by the Tashbetz, Rav Shimon ben Tzemach Duran, who wrote a sefer, the Shara of the sefer of the Tashbetz. And he goes on to describe this, and he essentially follows in the line of the Rambam, that there are 613 mitzvahs, but he does make an interesting point at the end, at the very, very end. And I've seen this quotation attributed to his Akdama, to his introduction. It's not in the Akdama, it's at the very end of the Sefer. It's on page 117 in the basic print. And he says the following very interesting point. And I think I'm just going to point this out over here on the screen to the area where he says, here he goes. He quotes the Gemara Resimin Lai, and he says, "Umashi is kiru b'chol makom ze'aminyan ulefi shalom atzinu chacham acher mina'am tofasnu minyanai." Since there's no one who disagrees with Rabbi Resimin Lai, as we saw in this Gemara in Sefer Makos, that's why we adopt that number. Va'af im yechzar o yadif haminyan hu holech sevivoy hu ka'omron b'hare mokomos havi pursa u pursa loydak. And he says, and even if it's going to be a little bit more or a little bit less, that's not, don't get too hot under the collar. We know that this is a general principle. It's to where we're aiming. And what the Tashbetz is pointing out over here, and as others point out, what the Tashbetz is saying, is that in a certain sense, we are limited. Meaning to say, we've been painted the bullseye, which is 613 by the Gemara in Makos, Rabbi Simlai, the Makor from Rav Hamnuna. And we're trying to get there, but it's not so easy. It's not going to be so easy to create enough rules necessary to be able to eliminate and to increase certain amounts of mitzvahs to get to this 613 in the first place. So he says, it may be a little bit less or a little bit more here and there, but ultimately we're all trying to get to the general gist of what Rav Avnuna is and Rav Simlai is saying. So Tashbetz is pointing out that it is a little bit contrived, but nonetheless we are moving to try to get to that number. What about is this universal acceptance? Does everybody agree with the 613? The answer is not necessarily at all. He has an example of a sefer which is not as an example. He has the sefer is called Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, not to be confused with Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol. This is called by its acronym the SMAK, as opposed to the SMAG. This was written by Rav Yitzchak Mikorbil, who lived over here in the 1200s, in the 13th century, and it's modeled after the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol. However, what he does is his belief is, and he says it very clearly in his introduction, is that even when people have the 613 mitzvahs, it's easy to forget, it's easy to lose track. So he makes a basic suggestion. He bases it on the 7 days of the week, and he creates almost like a poem where he enumerates all the current mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs which are right now applicable. And he makes it as a way that, and he suggests, he says that every gabbai after shachris should learn and should teach the mitzvahs of that day, so that people get a sense of it, and they get into a cadence of knowing the mitzvahs on a daily basis. But thereby he eliminates all of the excess piyam and pirush, all the, so to speak, all the paragraphing and the reasons that the sefer mitzvahs Gadol had done, and he only applies it to the mitzvahs which are applicable today. Interestingly enough, how many commandments does he say are applicable today? He says a sum total of 320 are applicable today. We're going to get to the Chofetz Chaim's count another time, God willing, in future weeks. When we look at what the Chofetz Chaim does, a similar kind of thing. But the SMAK essentially enumerates 320. Now, if that's the case, So to reach to 613, you would need to have another 293. Meaning, he doesn't talk about the mitzvahs which are not applicable today. He enumerates in his very short and concise sefer. It's called Sefer Mitzvahs Katan because he wants you to memorize it. He wants you to know it off by heart. And in that 320, deficient of that are 293. But here's the catch. Even if you go back to the Sefer Achinoch, the Rambam's counting of all the mitzvahs which are applicable in the Mikdash era, in the era of the Beis Hamikdash, you only get to about 201. You don't get the missing 293, which indicates the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan was not working with the same basis of it having to be 613 set in stone, as an example. He doesn't say it explicitly, but this is an example. By the way, just as a fascinating aside, even though he intended it to be a short Sefer, there was somebody by the name of Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlow who wrote an incredibly long Pirush on the Smak itself. So he, so to speak, and in doing so, he made it very expansive, which was not exactly the notion of the Smak himself, Rav Yitzchak Mikorbil, in the first place. But nonetheless, that's what he does. And Rav Perlow's commentary is a very, very fascinating goldmine of understanding the mitzvahs. He used the Smak essentially as the platform for a very long pirush on the mitzvahs. Nonetheless, worthwhile noting. It is also worthwhile noting that, let's say, the Sefer Yireim, which is on the Svarim, in fact, only counts 417 mitzvahs. The Sefer Rikanti, in his book Sefer Tamei Mitzvahs, counts 250 positive and 361 negative commandments, which is a sum total 611. And yes, he does quote the first of the first two of the Aseres Dibros. So again, as like the Tash Beis had said, sometimes a little bit more, a little bit less. But we see that not everybody was necessarily adopting this notion of 613. Why is this? Why is it that we see such disparity? So it's fascinating that the way to place to look for this is in the Ramban, in Nachmanides' commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam. I started reading the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam, and he has a beautiful introduction, and then he goes on to enumerate all the Sharashim, the roots or the principles upon which he uses to count mitzvahs or not count mitzvahs. And then he goes on to count the mitzvahs. It's fascinating. In fact, I don't think most people are aware of this. The Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam, very much like the Halachas Gedolos, is an introduction to his halachic compendium called Sefer HaYad, the Yad HaChazaka, where he has 14 volumes of all the mitzvahs that exist and all the halachas which exist. So the Sefer HaMitzvahs is the introduction to it. And he references back to that at every Sefer. So let's say we're beginning Hilchos Tefillin. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Tefillin, there are 5 commandments. And then he references back to the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which was the introduction, in order to understand it. So it's all very cohesive. On the Rambam, the Rambam garnered a lot of commentaries, a lot of people who agreed, disagreed, sourced the Rambam. I mean, the Sefer Mitzvot has no less than five commentaries just on the page. One of them being, one of the prime commentaries being, his later colleague who lived just after him was the Ramban, Nachmanides, Rav Moshe ben Nachman. And the Ramban says, just fascinating, we'll deal with some of the Ramban's other comments, but he points out the following important idea. And I just want to read a few of the lines of the Ramban inside, but not certainly not all of it right now, because it's extremely lengthy. He says, V'terem sh'aschil in Source 7, before I begin, l'daber im levavi b'inyan azeh, before I start opening up my heart to explain this matter, omer mashini stapekli, I'm going to tell you something I had a doubt about, says the Ramban. Af al pi sheyodati shakol machzikim boy kedavar pashut. Everybody seems to assume this to be the default, but I'm going to ask a question. He quotes the Gemara Makos. I'm going to skip towards the end of the paragraph because all of that is a quotation. He says, "Hinei al pi ze amimemra baal halachos." The baal halachos, that's the Bahag, came umina'om achas la'achas limtsoi cheshbon. That he counted 613 based on that Gemara. Everybody seems to accept that 613 are the amount of the mitzvahs. And not only were svarim written, poems were written, songs were written about the 613 to remember the 613. From them are many of the Spanish sages, Be'eretz Andulas, Andalusia, we talk about the Iberian Peninsula, Kasher Hizkira Rav Zal, as the Rambam explains, and you go to all the places of the diaspora, he's talking about Europe now, Germany, France. He says, "Kvar Omar Harazal Sheze Davar Shelo Yiskal Osay Acher Echad Mikol Mi Shemona Hamitzvahs Sheze Hu Minyanam." And the Rav says, the Rambam says, that this is something which everybody agrees upon is 613. So Ramban asks, and he says, "Va'ani ba'ani, in my impoverished and humble perspective, Im Kol Ze Olah Bili Bisofek Alan Zu Amemra. I have a question. Imu Davar Imu Divrei Hakol." As Yeshbo Machlakas. Is it something which was unilaterally accepted, or was the matter of there being 613 commandments in the first place a matter of debate? Was this a tradition? Or did Hashem say to Moses, there are 613 commandments? So was that always understood? I'm giving you 613 mitzvahs, let's have some Israel, Barashah, to give them to Israel. Oy shu asmachta ba'alma. Or maybe, says the Ramban, it is an asmachta. An asmachta means to say that we have this notion, we worked it out, and we find a nice way, a nice hint towards it through the numerical value. Is it inherent, or is it contingent? So is this what was Hashem said, or is this something which the Chachamim said, you know, this makes sense, if we counted them, it all adds up, and look, there's a sign to this, that the word Torah is 611, which adds, is that what's happening, this is what Ramban says. So the Ramban says, why am I even asking this question? Why am I throwing a wrench into this? Why am I making things so difficult? He says, the reason I'm asking this very intellectually honest question, the Ramban says, if you go through the Gemara, you'll see numerous machloekesim as to whether a particular pasuk is descriptive or prescriptive, as an example. So, is the pasuk telling us to do this, or is the Gemara saying, when you do this? That is descriptive as opposed to prescriptive. Prescriptive means it's a mitzvah. And you see a machlokes as an example over here. V'koneis ishtoi, is that a mitzvah, or is that a rishus? Is it a positive command, or is it neutral? So an ellipses over here, because he goes on to list tens of Gemaras afterwards. The Ramban is not simply making a conjecture. The Ramban over here is saying, based on my sum total knowledge of all of Shas at my fingertips, I'm going to tell you that there are numerous machlokes as such. Therefore he says, Ladivre ha emer choiva, hein mina minyanaze, shaltariag mitzvas, ladivre ha emer ushus, eino nechshavim. So let's imagine for a moment, in that machlokes he quotes in the Gemara inside to Daf Gimel, that Rabbi Akiva says it's a chayva, and Rabbi Shmuel says this particular mitzvah is a rishus. If Rabbi Shmuel says this is neutral, this is not a positive commandment, then Rabbi Shmuel, where are you going to get the other mitzvah to replace the one that you just neutralized? Where does it come from? And the Ramban says, but sorry, she hadvarim, haheim, she of you, beminan haze, eina mitzos le dira, I'm a ba'elu a chova, ba'elu a batara, and yonam kaile. He says, you don't have it that every Amora or every Tana has their own set of 613 mitzos. You don't have it that Rabbi Akiva has his 613, and Rabbi Shmuel his 613, isn't even mentioned. And in fact, he says the Gemara should have, if this was a great concern to the Gemara then should have said, you know what? Wait a second, Rabbi Shmuel, you just said this is a neutral garment description. This is not a prescriptive mitzvah. If that's the case, Rabbi Shmuel, how do you get to 613? The Gemara should have asked Rabbi Shmuel himself right there and then as a question upon his interpretation of this pasuk based on the fact that he's now essentially deficient in his 613. And the Gemara never does that. The Gemara never asks and says, when there's such a machlokes, in the tens of times the Ramban brings in his Akdama over here, in his commentary on the Rambam, as this is a question, which indicates to us that clearly the Gemara was not particularly concerned with arriving at 613, which means, therefore, says the Ramban, that maybe Rabbi Simlai's statement is not necessarily agreed upon by everybody. And that's why the Gemara does not question it. And he goes on to give numerous other examples. And he says, maybe this is not necessarily, it's giving down the paragraph, maybe it's not necessarily universally accepted. Maybe Rabbi Simlai arrived at 613 because of his count. And therefore he made this drasha. And that's Rabbi Yishmael is missing three, and Rabbi Shimon is missing two from all the examples he gives. They'd have no question on this. He says, however, I do agree that it seems that there doesn't seem to be an explicit opinion which disagrees with Rabbi Simlai, and ultimately he does kowtow to the notion of Rabbi Simlai and the Rambam, but he asks it as a question. And I think it's in the space of this question, which is some of the other moina hamitzvahs, the other counters of the mitzvahs, perhaps diverge from the classical interpretation of 613. This is where the Ramban is coming from, and it's a very basic question. Ultimately, the Ramban does accept the notion of 613, and what's fascinating is what he's going to do is that he's going to question a number of the principles of the Rambam and a number of the inclusions and exclusions of the Rambam. Because as noted beforehand, there are more than 613 mitzvahs. Just simply put, if you count the Torah, go through the Torah and you whip out a pen and you count the mitzvahs, there are much more than 613. You need to have rules as to what you include and what you exclude. And the Ramban is going to argue on numerous occasions where the Rambam includes certain things. And therefore, the Ramban will say, this mitzvah X, it doesn't belong here. But then he will say, you know what, the problem is that now I'm deficient of the 613, and the Ramban therefore has what he calls Hashmatos. At the end of his Pirush on the Sefer HaMitzvos, he says these are the mitzvos that the Rambam forgot. Now the Rambam did not forget them. The Rambam excluded them. But the point is that he says that because of my account where I X'd this amount, these are the ones that need to replace them. So the Ramban does ultimately agree to this, but nonetheless he airs this thought, this clarification as part of his counting. Very, very fascinating. It is true today that it seems to be that universally 613 is the number based on the Gemara, based on the fact that most of the counters of the mitzvahs and the classic counters of the mitzvahs end up with 613, but we need to see how to get there, and that's going to be the work of the future weeks. I would like to just perhaps suggest make one fascinating a note over here, and that is that the Gemara does add in one extra detail, and that is it doesn't just say that it's 613. It says that it's comprised of two sets, which is why the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol actually ultimately divided his Sefer into two separate unique sections. There was the positive and the negative commandments. By the way, as a fascinating aside, I don't remember who it is, but there was a particular sage where there was not a Torah available on Simchas Torah, and they danced the smug, the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. Fascinating. As he said, I'm going to write this book as a Sefer Torah. He wrote the 613 mitzvahs and in the two sections, Mitzvah Sasei, Mitzvah Sasei, and some people would even dance with that on Simchas Torah. That's how inclusive and that's how comprehensive it is. Nonetheless, The Gemara does note this and says, in fact, gives us examples as to how to remember, how to know the positive and the negative commandments. There are more negative commandments than there are positive commandments. By the way, I don't like the word negative, and it's not just because, you know, of being politically correct. It isn't a great description of what a mitzvah lo sa'aseh is. A mitzvah lo sa'aseh essentially is not doing something, right? So it's not negative, it's withholding, essentially. It's, in a certain sense, more stationary than it is movement. Whereas a mitzvah sa'aseh is an outpouring of energy, mitzvah lo sa'aseh is a withholding of energy. So positive and negative, sometimes the word positive and negative have different connotations than that actual real description. But nonetheless, the Gemara does give examples of each. And the Gemara says the mitzvah lo sa'aseh, the commandments which require a person to withhold themselves, in fact, are 365. Why 365? Because of the days of the solar year. There are 365 days in the year. And why 248, which is the positive commandments, which is less, because of the 248 limbs of the human body. Medically speaking, fascinating, a lot of interesting literature as to how to match that up today, but what's it referring to. But nonetheless, those are the examples. The Maharal in Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, in the fourth chapter, dedicates the entire chapter to this point, and he asks a very basic question. Like, why is it that these particular examples are chosen to match the positive and negative commandments? Meaning, why, like, theoretically speaking, why couldn't it have been 365 positive commandments matching up with the days of the solar year? Why couldn't it be 248 negative commandments matching the limbs of the body? You're like, well, why is positive matched with the human body, and why is negative matched with the days of the year? There's so many other ideas, other metaphors, other numeric ideas that we could match these up with. Why specifically does the Gemara attribute it to these? That's what the Maharal asks. And he has a very beautiful and long essay on this topic, very much worthwhile looking at and reading through inside. We're just going to cover one or two of the Rosh HaProkim, of the main points. The Maharal says the following. He says, look, if you look into the reality around us, he says that he first points out that there's two systems. There's two systems that govern human action from a higher order. And by the way, today we're in need of a higher order more than ever before, because with moral relativism and what's going on in society today, and as everything seems to cascade downwards, we certainly need a higher order. But in the higher order, there are two sets of ways of governing human action. The one is the negative commandments, the mitzvahs lo sa'aseh, and the one is mitzvahs aseh. And the Maharal says that if you think about them very carefully, they're actually operating, they are different operations. They yield different results in the human being. So as an example, he says in the source 8 under the category heading, which says negative commandments, I broke it up just to make it a little easier to take a look at. He says the following, Ha'achelek ha'echad shelo yihye meshane'es mitziyusa asher nivra alav. Ki im meshane'es mitziyusa asher nivra alav, harei yesh loy shinui mashuhu ro'oi lemitziyusa adam. V'yavo hesed mitziyusa. A negative commandment essentially is saying is don't break what was given to you, right? Meaning to say, don't do negative things. Don't murder, don't steal, don't plow with an oxen and a donkey together. All the negative commandments that the Torah talks about are essentially saying, maintain how you started. Don't break. Don't diverge. Don't invest complexity or we'll call it impurities into yourself and the world around you. That's what the mitzvah lo sa'aseh is. He says, Neida bohem, in the last paragraph in the bolded section, Shekol mitzvah lo sa'aseh hem yetziah min ha-yosher, u'memetzios ma'ashe ha-seichel mechayev. Anytime you perform a negative commandment, you go eat something which is not kosher, God forbid, right? You don't look after your health, right? That's a debate as to where that falls. The person is ultimately moving away from the basic reality they were given to start off with. Then there's the positive commandments. But the positive commandments are not about preservation. They're rather about development. Hachelek ha'sheni mitzvah sa'aseh, shekvar amarnu ki ein ha'odam b'madregosoy ha'achrona ha'elokis v'ka'elu, hu b'koyach bilvad v'tzorish shiyikne ha'shlemes b'poel yedei ha'mitzvah sa'elokios. It's all very nice to be safe. And you know what? It's a very important first step. So if you enter this world and you live a safe life and you don't do anything negative, that is a commendable achievement considering if you look at the rest of humanity, they're not so good at that, even that, right? When you look at society today, and you know it's very easy to be destructive. So let's get that right first. But if all your life was simply being a safe person, then that's also missing something, right? If your greatest achievement in life was that you never kidnapped or pillaged or destroyed, You know, that's definitely important, but that certainly does not make you a laudable human being. That simply means to say you've now reached ground zero, right? So now you have effectively not destroyed anything. Have you done anything with your life? Have you maintained yourself for any greater purpose? It reminds me, Rabbi Tatz always talks about this notion of a fellow who's brought into a laboratory, and the fellow tells them that they've come across the most incredible invention. They take him in and they make him wear a mask and a gown. They take him into this new room, and there's this large machine which takes up the entire room. And he says, "Look at it." The man says, "What is it?" He says, "Ah, this is the first machine which is a self-maintaining machine. It can oil itself, it produces its own energy, it winds itself, it does everything. I can leave this moving and working, and essentially without any problems, it will repair itself and be guaranteed to be operating for the next 1,000 years without interruption." The man says, "That's incredible." He says, "But what does it do?" So he says, "No, it self-maintains. That's what it does." So the man says, "Look," the visitor says, "if it could make a coffee, and it could also self-maintain, now that would be incredible. But having a machine which simply self-maintains and repairs and oils and creates its own energy is a little bit of a useless machine. The notion, the idea is clever. The idea is wonderful. But what does it do? What does a human being do? Do you get to the end line of life and you say, you know what, Akash Baruch Hu, I didn't do anything bad." Akash Baruch Hu says, "Fantastic, great. Now what do you do?" Right? So that's the mitzvah asay. Mitzvah asay is now you're going to actually take what you're given and create a portfolio. Do something. Make an impact. Do something in the world. That's what the mitzvah asay is. The Ramban, the Maharal then goes on to say, and there's two systems that operate. He says the one is what's called the system under the sun, tachas hashemish. He says, and this refers to the natural order of things. In this paragraph, it says system one. He says the echad who amitzios hatachtoin who be chlala mesudar tachas hashemish hashemish kolelo soi ki hashemish melech olam vateva v'olam hateva mesudar tachtoin. Everything in the world is essentially under the sun. Everything that we know in the known universe that we operate on a daily basis is under the sun. The sun is essentially one of the greatest sources of energy, which provides the glucose necessary in the plant kingdom, which is necessary for the animal kingdom to survive and subsist. And it also, therefore, allows the plants to produce the oxygen necessary for the rest of the life. It's all the carbon cycle. Everything falls into a place under the purview of the sun. The sun refers to the natural order of things around us. And then there's a second system. There's a second system of order, and that's what he calls the human being. And the human being is a little bit different because the human being doesn't always arrange themselves neatly in the first system. So here's what he says in system two. Ha'chelek ha'sheni hu'a adam bilvad ma'bevadshu chelek sheni neged kol ha'metzios. He doesn't always operate. The human being does not always operate within the umbrella framework of the sun or the natural order. Shu bifnei atzmo eino nichlal im sha'ar ha'nimsoim. Isn't quite like all the rest of the creations or ecosystems. Sha'arei bishvil ha'adam nivra ha'kol. The whole world is created for the human being. Ve'echi yeh nichlal ha'eved im adonav. So the servant isn't part of the master, right? Which means to say that the creation was to serve man. So therefore man is not part of the system. He's not only he's in the grid, but he's not subservient to the grid. Davazela yitochen klal lufichach hu chelek bifnei atzmoi. And therefore, a human being is able to do things, to change things, to shape the world in a way which is different to the natural order it was. I mean to say, if you leave a basic ecosystem in place, a basic system of nature, without humans to pollute, to destroy it, to create extinctions, to kill each other, to destroy things, to create atom bombs, to create climate control, without all of that, there's a certain ecosystem and that works by itself. Introduce human beings, they do things differently. They create incredible things. They're able to preserve energy, they're able to create metropolises, they're able to create sustainable livings, and they're also able to destroy the world and each other, right? Operates under a different system, says the Maharal. Okay, so now how does this work? So why is this relevant to us? So the Maharal now connects both of those systems. We talked about the idea of the system of maintenance and the system of pouring out energy, Mrs. Asay. And then he talks about the system of nature under the sun and the human system, which is not necessarily completely subservient to the natural system. He now matches up those two ideas. And he says, whenever, and this is just such a very, very powerful idea, and I want to read this paragraph because it's so powerful on the top of the last page here. He says, the system of nature versus the system of reality. Whenever the prophets, Israel, they would give rebuke to Israel, they would usually use as a metaphor the natural world around them. He says, Yadashar Koneu Haftar, we're going to read soon as we get to the Shavas Chazon, the first parak of Yeshayahu. Ox knows it's the one who acquired it, Evus Ba'alov, and the donkey knows whether its food trough is and who gives it food. He talks about the natural or the inorganic kingdom of the heavens and earth. And he says, the Midrash Sifrei says that look into the heavens and the earth and everything which is in them, asher barasi l'shamesh eschem, which are used to serve you, v'ein lohem schar v'oinish, and they don't get reward or punishment, v'heim loishanu midosam, and they did not change what they were supposed to do. Re'isim Hashemesh Holech L'Mizrach. Or do you see the sun moving in the opposite direction? Or Shemesh Zaratim Es Adama Chitim V'hi Alasim So'erim. Did you plant wheat and out came barley? V'imatem Mekaimim Tekablu Schar Imlav Tekablu Oinesh Al Achas Kamukama. You human beings who now are given a reward and punishment, surely you should listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the Maharal saying? Is that when a human being is misbehaving, the first thing the Navi says to them is, you're not even like the natural kingdom. You're not doing the most basic of what we'll call the under the sun system. And that's why the Maharal says, if you think about it carefully, the Shasa, the 365 negative commandments, relate directly to this under the sun system, the solar year. Why? Because the solar year essentially is the representation of nature. Nature as it's supposed to be, the ecosystem as it was wound up to be, and that is preservation. Human being, the first thing you should do is don't destroy the world you're put into. That's the 365 negative commandment. Whether it be the social world, whether it be the natural world, whether it be the emotional world you're put in, don't destroy it. Those are the 365, and that's why it matches the solar calendar. But then, there's the notion of 248. 248 is beyond not destroying the natural order. It's about investing in the human order, which is above that. And therefore, he says, "V'nosan Elohem oid ramach mitzvahs asay." There are 248 positive commandments. Shehem kinyan maaseh shal yadam kone maalas v'shlemus. That's the way that a human being can arrive at completion. Keneged chelek mitzios hasheni, corresponding to the second system of existence, shehu adam. Shenimtza ba'adam kinyan ma'ala sheloy timtza b'chelek harishon she'ein bo kinyan klal. The human being is able to achieve things which the natural world itself would not necessarily profess or arrive at, and that's why it is that it is matched with the limbs of the human being versus the negative commandments, which are matched with the days of the year, because it relates to two different kingdoms, two different missions essentially for the human being. And it's worthwhile thinking about that. As we think about the 613 mitzvahs, it was not haphazard, it wasn't random. There is a very precise choreographing. There's a very precise system, or perhaps systems, that a person ought to be thinking about. This leaves us at the end of the introduction of getting to 613. God willing, our plan going forward is going to be to take a look at some of the Rambam's introduction to how we count mitzvahs, what are included and what are excluded. And they'll be very instructive, in fact, in trying to understand how mitzvahs work. Because if you can understand the rules for them, it'll actually shed light on a lot of the things which we take for granted. Anyways, I hope this has been a fascinating topic, because it really, there's so much to learn. I appreciate your taking the time. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.